Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Drive is live. We got cat paws.
Who?
We got cat paw stickers.
Cat paws.
We were the Wildcats. We had the paw stickers.
Yeah. Well, we had to negotiate for mine. We had them little bitty Razorbacks all over the back of our helmet. Boy, in Little League though, Optimus, man, the Colts, baby, Baytown Optimus League. We had skull and crossbones. We were yellow and red though, not them blue Colts. Yellow and red,
different Colts.
Skull and crossbones, baby, black all over that helmet, man. I looked like Jack in the Box kids out there with the big ass head. I had skull.
That's how I looked my whole childhood.
Hey, I had skulls and crossbones all over that joint though, tearing folks up now.
There you go. Getting them dubs in Baytown. What Colts were they?
Colts, man. Baytown Colts, Baytown baby. Colts. Baytown Optimus Little League football, man.
Who was your team, Tyler, in Baytown? Baytown.
Well, I didn't play football because my mom didn't want me to get hurt. I was pretty skinny. But we were, I was a SFA Gator. I was a Gentry Mustang and a Sterling Ranger.
I was hoping you had a...
Only sport I didn't play. Mom said I would have got killed. She was probably right.
You had a little league football team to match his in Baytown.
Nah.
All right. It is Victory Monday. It is Reaction Monday. And if you're on YouTube and Twitch, you can see the Victory Monday shirt that Tyler Milner is rocking today. But it is on the drive, Mad Dog Monday. And by the skin of my teeth, I avoided Mad Dog having a bye Mad Dog Monday. I believe the one reception for -3 yards for Tank Dell did him in.
I think Old Dirty won, didn't he?
Yeah, I think you did at the end. It was tight.
Thanks to that Superman sack at the end that was Neil Hunter had.
It was tight.
Ooh, I smelled his Mad Dog.
A little orange.
Ooh. I went orange for the Bears. Went orange for the Bears for you.
Mad Dog 20.
Come on, man. Come on. Don't touch him lips before we tap these tips.
2 days
Come on.
In a row. Mad Dog Monday. Stick.
Chug, 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 chug. Orange Jubilee down the pipe.
Yeah.
2-0, baby.
I ain't chugging it all the way down today.
I don't know if I got not at least in the first.
I'll take it down. I ain't chugging it down.
That got away from us last week. I'll be honest.
Orange Jubilee burns a little.
Their performance was sip it down level.
Fair point.
Very fair.
Their performance was sip it down level. Anyway, I do want to start this off on this Victory Monday, Reaction Monday, and the non-sponsored Mad Dog Monday. But I just feel like there's just somebody out there that could just
an opportunity.
Hey, when I left Big City Wings, big shout out to my man Sam for having us last week. Big shout out for Academy for putting that thing on and making it happen. When I left, was walking out. Old boy in the Yankees hat, straight from the Northeast, loves us, paid us huge compliments. I said, that's a hell of a compliment coming from anybody, but coming from somebody up in the Northeast where y'all like stalk radio guys and stuff, and like, I mean, it's just a different level up there. I greatly appreciate it. Said he loves our show. You know what he did on the way out?
What did he do?
Tapped me on the shoulder. He said, "In my business." He said it with a New York accent. By the way, it was thick.
But not in my business.
It was thick. No, he didn't say it like that. He works for a distributor, and apparently they distribute that MD 2020.
Really?
He said, "Man, y'all want me to?" He said, "I'll get you taken care of."
Hell yeah, we want you to.
I'll bring it up there. So.
Have them on standby.
Come on, man. So we might have a little something. It might have worked out right there. Hey, text us in 713-572-4610. Who out there is and you don't have to drink the Mad Dog right now like Ron and I are doing. But who remembers them days? Who remembers them beautiful days of that MD 2020? Well, you get you a bottle on a Friday night.
Mix it with Boone's Farm.
We didn't mix it. We kept the Boone's Farm for the girls, and then we hit this old Mad Dog 2020. But if you want to mix it, so be it. Who out there remembers them days? Tell us some stories. Mad Dog 2020 stories. The chronicles of Mad Dog 2020 in the 1990s and the early 2000s. Where you at? 713-572-4610. The abbreviated version. We don't need whole stories up there. The thing will chop them up. Just the quick of it. MD 2020, Tyler. Takes me back to Crystal Beach.
Oh, MD? You know where I used to go to get mine?
Hey, Park Street on the church pew, on the dark green church pew, and Crystal Beach. Riding on that sand out there.
Been there. I used to get my Mad Dog from old Circle T's over there near Park Street in Old Baytown.
Oh, boy. Hey, there you go. Park Street. Hell, boy. That old boy would sell it damn near anybody, wouldn't he?
Over, yes. Yes, over indeed. near what was it, North Asheville. Yeah.
David Kramer says, hell yes. Toby Hollis said, we did Boone's Farm. Mad Dog.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. I stumbled into some of that Thunderbird one night, stumbled into some Crazy Horse one night, got knocked out on that. I'll tell that story later on.
All right, Trevor, do Edward 40 hands. All right, I'm done.
I want to know more about that, but talk to me about that.
I will.
That's because I've never heard of
that. That'd be taping 40s to your hand, and you can't take them off until you finish them both.
Is that what that is? Never heard of that. First timer. That's cool. That sounds fun.
Maybe I may have had my Crazy Horse night start.
Might have tried that. There you go. Tape.
The worst part was taking the duct tape off.
You did it with duct tape. Yeah, I guess that's the best thing to keep it. All right, before I give my thoughts on this, 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, you can jump in on this. I want to go around from you all because I know, Tyler, you were in the house, and Clint, you were right there next to me as we were checking this game out. What did you all think about the crowd? What did you all think about the atmosphere, the on-time nature, how it was, how it started? What grade would you give the Texans crowd?
I can't speak to the on-time nature of it. I don't really remember taking note.
And I do.
To be completely honest with you. But I know, I'm going to give them an A for the effect in the game, because there is no doubt about it. They made communication for Caleb Williams extremely, extremely difficult on multiple occasions. So you want to talk about the 12th man, the noise factor was absolutely huge at times. So I got to give a little credit there. I'll go A with the for the fans. Yep.
Yeah, I love the way the crowd affected the game at times. A late false start caused by the crowd there at NRG. That was beautiful. But I think they got
Laramie twice too.
Damn it, Laramie. But I'm gonna go, if I had to put a grade on it, I'm gonna give the crowd better, moving in the right direction, B+.
I try to defend Laramie Tunzel on that, but I just can't, man. Them home false starts, I ain't got it. Hey, man, you the best pass-protecting left tackle in the game, and Sweat or whoever, and DeMarcus Walker, you trying to get out early on. I'm trying. I can't defend him anymore on that. All right. From the start, I will say this, including the playoff game, for me personally, I think it was, from my memory, the best atmosphere that I've seen or heard at NRG. I don't know if the McNairs were a part of it. They had the little lights there around the stadium.
That was cool.
That seemed to be on purpose. Many people participated in the whiteout, except for the Bears fans, and we'll get to that. I thought it was the best atmosphere that I've seen. Now, I give it a B because I can't help it. I look up at the TV screen, Clint, and they're doing the intro with Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth. And right behind them, when they're doing the intro, as I look up on the TV, it's just all kinds of empty seats. Just all kinds of empty seats. Then I see people in the middle of the first drive are coming down the stairs to get to their seats. So better, but it can still be improved. And
the arrow's pointed up.
I ain't gonna lie to you, heard a little too many Bears fans out there. They were talking about Bears defense. That was a little much.
I wonder how much, because I did hear that.
Did
as
you
well.
Hear that? Yeah.
I wonder. I do. I wonder how much of that
our buddy Roflo tweeted about it.
I don't know if I mean. Like I wonder in today's world of tickets and reselling tickets, I wonder how in control the actual fans are of that. Like, how much of that is Texans fans getting their tickets and then just because they realize they can make a bunch of money off of them?
Oh, I'm sure selling them.
But I mean, you think, like, I wonder how much of it is third parties buying the tickets up and then selling them on a weekly basis. Because I find it hard to believe that if you're a Texans fan and you have season tickets right now, I find it hard to believe that you're selling Sunday Night Football second game of the season. I find it very difficult to believe that that many people did that. That's got to be a third party deal where somebody, some organization, some app is getting a hold of a bunch of tickets and selling them. It's got to be.
Maybe.
I know Game Time does a lot of that.
Maybe. As people are saying, yep, Clint, bingo. I don't hear it in Philly. I bet we don't hear it in Philly tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any experience with that, so I don't Pittsburgh. Know how I don't know how it happens.
Like I said, I was better. As Tyler said, I was better.
For sure.
And I think you took a step. And it was, as I said, the best atmosphere that I've seen. But I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you and point those things up. It was still a little late arriving, still some missed seats on that first level. And there was some. And listen, I think Miami, Houston, Atlanta, L.A. Have to deal with some of this because it is a travel spot. Like Tyler's deciding to go to Minneapolis for a road game. But I do think a lot of people look up and see if I can get in and go to a Houston game. But like I said, better. Better.
Well, travel's easy. It's a great city.
But I think
it is
a
destination. I think to your point, on multiple occasions, like this is a city where I think there are just naturally a lot of Chicago fans that are here, a lot of other NFL franchise fans that are here, just given the dynamic of Houston. And so I'm just hesitant to think that that's Texans fans that have purchased these tickets choosing to sell a Sunday Night Football game week two. That just can't be the deal.
Well, I think it is on some, but listen, like I said, better. Better. I give it a B. And I think the atmosphere was really, really strong. A really, really strong atmosphere. All right, as we continue here on a Victory Monday, Mad Dog Monday, Reaction Monday. I'm throwing this out to you guys out here. The Texans, they're 2-0. They beat the Colts, and obviously last night they beat the Bears. In a 19-13 game, despite what my Twitter says, I would wonder how you guys are feeling right now about the Texans at 2-0. They're 2-0, but how are you feeling about them right now? And the reason why I ask that because, like, I take a look at like a couple of teams. Like, I think, fellas, the Saints and the Bucks, who are 2-0. I think the way that their fan base is feeling at 2-0 is different than the Steelers and the Seahawks, who are 2-0. The Steelers, who have scored one offensive touchdown in two ball games. The Seahawks, who had a fight in overtime with the Patriots yesterday and then won a tight one again in week one against the Broncos, who aren't good. How are you feeling right now after these two games with the Texans at 2-0?
I feel significantly better than I thought I was going to feel at this point in time.
Do you?
We've now seen the Texans win a game with their offensive line and a run game, which is nowhere near as impressive today as it was last week, given that the Colts gave up another 250, another 150-plus yard rusher. So clearly they're not good against the run, so it wasn't as impressive as I thought it was, but it's still a W on this schedule where you didn't have to get on C.J. Stroud's back. You didn't have to ask C.J. Stroud to overextend and be Superman, and you won that football game. Fast forward to this week, you're not able to run the football. You're not able to protect the quarterback. Your penalties are unbelievable, and your defense, at the end of the day, is the reason that you won this football game. And so, again, coming into the season, my two biggest concerns was can you complement C.J. Stroud, the Superman effect of C.J. Stroud. He can't do it alone. He can't do it for 17 weeks straight, much less 21 straight weeks. He needs some help. Has this organization taken a step and created and generated the ability to give C.J. Stroud that help? And in the first 2 weeks of the season, hadn't been pretty either way it goes, but the first 2 weeks of the season, what we've seen is the Texans win a football game without C.J. Stroud having to put his Superman cape on.
Yeah, and we'll get to his performance a little bit later on. I'd love to hear your grade on CJ a little bit later on. As someone texted in Jeff Sparrow on YouTube and Twitch, the game felt mid. I wanted to dominate like New Orleans did, is what Jeff did. Yeah, if you'd have told me, hey, Hey, Tyler, they're going to hit Caleb 11 times, and they're going to sack Caleb 11 times. And Swift is going to have 14 carries for 18 yards. And Clint, you loved Swift. You are a big fan of Swift.
Absolutely.
18 carries and in the game, both teams, by the way, Caleb Williams would be the leading rusher to 50-something yards.
Yeah, you ain't talking about Taylor.
And Caleb would throw two picks in this game, and CJ would not have any turnovers. I would have thought they would have beat the living hell out of the Bears at home. And yet it was 19-13. And the Bears had the ball with a chance in a weird way. But there is also the thought and the theory of, yo, hey, man, you ain't going to play great every game. You're not going to have your best. How do you do when you don't have your best? Because we know the Texans can play better than this. How are you when you don't have your best? And they did come out and get a win. But I won't lie and say when I got done watching it, Clint, that I wouldn't say slightly disappointing how that game ended.
Oh,
that game was in doubt like that. So I think you feel pretty good about 2-0, especially with everything that happened over the weekend in the NFL. You feel pretty good about 2-0, but you do look out there, and there is some disappointment from what you saw.
Well, I think two things can be true. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You're looking through Texans colored glasses, and rose colored glasses. If you watch this football team play in the last 2 weeks, you hadn't seen some concerns. The defensive, particularly the secondary in week one, and then this week you look up, no run game, not able to protect the quarterback. The penalties were atrocious. And so there are definitely some places where they've got to improve. They got to improve in a big, big way, right? Which I think is actually a beautiful thing. You're 2-0, and you've yet to play your best football, and you as a team, not even close. And you've yet to ask your Superman to put that cape on and go win a game by himself. That's exactly what it's a beautiful position to be in, right? You'd rather the O-line had put a two games back to back of running the football and protecting the quarterback, but they didn't. Like you're in a spot where you're 2-0. And you've moved up a couple of notches relative to the Super Bowl odds, Super Bowl champion odds, and those rankings, whatever that may be. And as a team, D'Amico has plenty of reason to go in there and go, guys,
what coaches love, right?
Oh, no question.
He said, and I was in there in the press room when he spoke to the media, and he talked about the 12 penalties. He said that's the number one thing without even having to watch the tape that jumps out. That's not how we play football, and we left them in the game with those penalties. But you're right. That's a coach's dream right there, ain't it? Like, hey, I get to coach and show them on film the things that they did wrong, but we won.
Yeah.
But we 2-0.
Yeah, man.
And everybody else in the division is 0-2. And we won, and you feel good about it. So, yeah, it's a big win. Just curious, how you feeling? How are you feeling about this 2-0 start?
I feel really good, Ron. Look, at the end of the day, the one thing that we haven't seen from the Texans in impressive fashion, forget the breaking down each opponent and how good are they, how good are they not, the one thing we haven't seen from this team is, again, C.J. Stroud putting the team on their back and having to go get in a shootout and go win a football game. And that's the one thing
that we know he's capable of doing.
Bingo. If it does happen, I feel very, very confident that everything's going to be fine. And so that's this team has taken steps to being a more complete football team, which is what it's going to take to be a Super Bowl contender. And they've taken those steps one in each week, the defense last week, the run game, offensive line week one, and it's good to be sitting where the Texans are right now.
All right, coming up on this Victory Friday, Mad Dog of Victory Friday, Victory Monday, Mad Dog Monday, and Reaction Monday, we are hoping to have D'Amico Ryans at around 3:25. He will speak to the media live. We'll have that for you and let you hear that hopefully around 3:25. So kind of make a note of that for yourself. All right. As we said, there was some at least tinge of disappointment. Still, they did what they needed to do and 2-0 and lead the division by two games. So Tyler's well on his way to a 4 or 5 game lead in this division. But there were some things that they've got to fix, and we'll discuss those coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I turned my mic on, thought I hit it. All right, big weekend win. And Astros, too, they went ahead and finished off that sweep. Big, big, big weekend as the Jags, the Titans, and the Colts all lost. And they're now all 0-2 while the Texans sit ahead the AFC South at 2-0.
Good day to be in the business in Houston, ain't
it? There you go. There you go. So it was a big weekend. But as you know, it wasn't all great. It was a hard, gritty win. The defense did what they needed to do to kind of carry the show when the offense kind of got stymied in the second half. But as we look at this thing, I think clearly for us, it is big that the Texans continue to win and get as far as they can potentially go. And you got to look at some things that may stop them. And Clint, it wasn't all great yesterday, and there was some things that they've got to change. And D'Amico and C.J. Stroud mentioned that themselves.
Yeah, look, just, I mean, way too many penalties. I mean, the penalty part of this thing for the Texans was a problem yesterday. And I know it's ha-ha, he-he after the game and not a big deal, but this is something that D'Amico Ryan's definitely putting his foot down about today. Was there really 12 penalties? 12 penalties for 115 yards. That's against a good football team, that gets you beat 10 out of 10 times.
We don't like that.
And so the penalties are a major problem because, look, be honest with you, it's hard to believe how many penalties the Texans were able to overcome because they were like unbelievably costly penalties. When you look at 3rd and 14, Kalen Bullock pass interference, Chicago Bears end up scoring a touchdown.
And that one wasn't even close.
The throwback across the body where Kamari Lassiter gets the interception, the holding on Toa Toa brings that play back. So it took a turnover off the board. The scramble by C.J. Stroud late in the game that would have put the game out of reach or at least given you a much better chance to put it out of reach. There's hands to the face by Titus Howard. Again, late in the game, Mario Edwards. Mario Edwards on the roughing the passer penalty obviously allowed that drive to continue and gave him 15 yards. So you look at a big number of these penalties. One of the special teams penalties negated a big at least field position swinging return by Sims, number 82 for the Texans. So not only were they penalties, They weren't just little false starts on first or second or third down, which, by the way, I think one of Larry Tunsil's false starts took them from like a third and two to a 3rd and 8 or 9 or something like that. Anyway, they were unbelievably costly penalties as well. Like when you're negating first downs and turnovers and chunk plays and allowing
roughing the passer in there.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. That's. Those penalties are unbelievably difficult to overcome, and in a game where, you know, it's a tight ball game, typically they're the reason that you lose. And so, when it's all said and done, D'Amico Ryans has got to get this group from a penalty perspective. He's got to get these guys dialed in because that'll typically cost you a game. No doubt about it, the penalties were a major, major problem.
And ultimately, we talked about it on Friday. The only reason and the only way that they were going to be able to hang into this game that I felt when you just looked at the matchups and where the Bears are, I don't know, we'll see about their offensive staff, but I think the Bears in 10 weeks are going to be completely different than they are right
fair.
Now.
But it's fair.
But it's just, you just can't help them. And the Texans repeatedly helped them, then Cam Akers really helped them and made that game tighter than it needed to be. Just the turnovers and penalties and 12 penalties. This is what we talk about as a disciplined coach team with D'Amico and what they talk about. That was not that. And I doubt we see that again this year. And if we do, then it's a really, you know, a bit of an issue of like this is a trend.
Well, I'd imagine we're going to see some of the false start stuff, but the just the avalanche of penalties that seem to happen at times when they're their momentum swinging plays or game ending plays or drive ending, like get off the field type of plays for the defense. That's going to be hard to overcome.
And
so,
real talk, and they got fortunate with Aziz that he didn't get himself ejected on the sideline.
No question about it. Yeah, there's I would imagine, and on that front, by the way, there's a lot of people last night were questioning what they, you know, what do you think or what do we think that the NFL is going to do? I think the NFL fines him heavily. I don't think he gets suspended. So playing week three without Aziz, I would be shocked if that were the case.
Last night.
Yeah, he was tremendous. He was absolutely tremendous. The other part of bad here, just real quick, the Texans offensive line, as good as they were week one, they were that bad in week two. And it's not because it's not because, you know, there was like this crazy rush attack like you saw on the flip side. Like D'Amico was just throwing more, he was throwing more helmets at the Bears offensive line than they could block. The Texans offensive line was getting their lunch ate by a four down lineman. They were able to rush the passer consistently and create chaos in the pocket with four pass rushers, and they were able to stop the run for the entire game, really, with their defensive front, which also included those down four. They couldn't protect the quarterback. They couldn't run the football versus a base defense. Those are all major problems, and the O-line is going to have to be better. As big a step as they took forward week one, we now have more evidence where obviously Indy is not as good a defensive front as we thought they were. They gave up another 250 plus, I think it was, or over 200 yards to a team and over 150 yards. Who was it that went for 150 on the Colts again? Josh Jacobs. So a great running back. So it may just be another really good running football team. But at the end of the day, that did not go from game one to game two. So that O-line had some serious issues yesterday as well. So the penalties and the O-line play, that's got to get better.
Yeah, those have got to be priority this week. Packers ran for 261. it was Jacobs. It was everybody. Malik Willis, they ran. And that's Malik Willis in the game, you know. Hey, that's probably what he's going to do. So, there's some things to clean up. But, again, cleaning up in a win. All right, coming up, we'll do our players of the game. So you can send yours in. Who were the players of the game? There are a few to pick from as well. And I also want to get, as we've been doing on Mondays, C.J. Stroud's grades. What was his grade in this game today? 23 of 36, 260, one touchdown, zero picks. What was C.J. Stroud's grade? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Houston Texans 2-0. Big W on Sunday Night Football. First time in 5 years they were on Sunday Night Football.
Yes!
That was when, hell, 5 years ago, that was when Mike Tirico was still getting screwed. And Al Michaels wouldn't. Al Michaels just would. Was Jay Leno in his ass. God, I can't stand Al Michaels.
Rough Monday?
Hold on, son.
Al
Michaels does that for you?
Always has. He's a snake.
Yeah, you really have always had that strong sports hate in your heart for Al Michaels.
It's a different Jim, different from Jim. But Al came over there.
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
And agreed to retire from NBC. And so Mike Tirico signed a year early for his deal, left Monday Night Football, left ESPN, came over to NBC to go take on over. Now Al then changed his mind, said, I ain't quite ready yet. They stayed on for another several years before they had to finally get his ass up out of there. But that was the last time they were on Sunday Night Football and they got the dub. All right, let's hit it. Let's get to it. I see some people texting in. Somebody said Mario Edwards is my guy. Mondays, we do this, our Man Eye Institute players of the game. And the Texans had a few of them. Played great. Let's kick it off with you, Clint. Who is your Man Eye Institute player of the game?
I'm gonna go with Nico Collins.
Oh yeah,
Nico Collins. He is he's quickly climbing the charts of my professional career's worst take ever. He's not number one yet. I've had
Johnny
some bad.
Manziel still up
there. Johnny Manziel's up there. There's a couple of other guys. I have to think about it to figure it all out. But there's I mean, just flat out flop, misses, bust, whatever you want to call it. And I like to go either way, the good or bad. Nico, obviously, I thought I had him pegged as a depth receiver, complimentary piece, and he is clearly the number one wide receiver for the Houston Texans and one of the better wide receivers in this league. Goes for 100 yards again. But here's why I got to go with Nico Collins. It was clearly a defensive game. This game was won by the defense, by D'Amico Ryans, continuing to dial up pressure. Blank, end of story. But when I look at, to me, the game was decided when you go, okay, Bobby Slowick versus Matt Eberflus. That was going to be the one. I felt really confident that D'Amico was going to be able to take advantage of a rookie quarterback and confuse him. And I didn't know he was going to do it to the tune of what they did, but I had a good feeling that D'Amico was going to be a X factor in this game. The real matchup was Bobby Slowick in this offense versus Matt Eberflus and his defense. And while the offense went to sleep in the second half and only scored 3 points in the fourth quarter, the first half was a thing of beauty, really, as it pertains to Nico Collins. Once again, Nico Collins goes out there, 8 catches, 135 yards, and a touchdown, 10 targets. No matter what defenses throw at this offense, Nico Collins is going to get his. You want to talk about the chemistry with the quarterback. We've seen I was really high on the chemistry with Tank last year. This training camp, the chemistry with Diggs. There's no debating, there's no denying that Nico Collins and C.J. Stroud have a tremendous amount of chemistry. You want to talk about the scramble drill where Nico is lights out. The high degree of difficulty throws on the sideline, where C.J. Stroud is putting it in a place where nobody but Nico can catch it multiple times in two games. 8 catches, 135, Nico Collins in a game where everything was difficult. Nothing was pretty. The quarterback was getting harassed. What happened? Nico Collins went out there and got it done. By the way, boys, I love Nico Collins' demeanor. I love the quiet assassin. I love the dude that's not flashy. The guy that doesn't tell everybody how good he is. The guy that just goes out there and does it. I love that.
Andre-esque.
Yeah, good point. Very much. Yeah. Personality-wise, absolutely. And then he goes in there and he gets into a little bit of a shoving match with a DB. Can't do it. You hurt the football team. Lost 15 yards. Bobby Slowick dials up.
In his defense, he did stick his finger completely in his face.
Absolutely. Boom. Bobby Slowick dials it up. Feeds him the slant, and he takes it to the house. And as he crossed the goal line, guy Jaylen hanging Johnson on his back, he lets him have it. He rips him off of his back kind of deal. That Nico, I keep calling him D'Amico, that Nico with that little bit of chip on his shoulder is fun to watch, man. I got to go with Nico Collins because that was the difference in this football game, was offensively them being able to score some points in the first half, and Nico was the catalyst to that.
Yeah, that was all-pro cornerback Jaylen Johnson. He threw off in the end zone. And Nico, by the way, leads the NFL in receiving yards, 252. The next closest is at 200. So Nico has got him on fire, baby. Yeah, he does. There you go, Andre. All right, Tyler, who is your Man Eye Institute player of the game?
Man, I'm going with all the big fellas up front rushing the passer for the Texans. A D-line in Houston, 7 sacks, making it rough on the rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams. That was freaking beautiful. He had Caleb Williams looking over his shoulder towards the end of this game because he was getting hit so much. So shout out to all the big men rushing the passer. Will Anderson Jr., your mad dog pick, Clint. Danielle Hunter getting in on the action. I'm going with the D-line, and shout out to the guys wearing orange, the big men, the offensive line for the Bears, because they suck.
Yeah, they were. They got a turnstile. They got a turnstile at center, man. That kid at center, boy, I mean, Edwards couldn't wait to get his hands on him. He got him a sec. They're taking turns.
Oh, you can eat buffet, baby.
Trying to get to old Coleman. You should. That's a dead giveaway. Your first name's Coleman, man.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's tough, man. Your parents, I'd be ashamed of yourself for naming that kid Coleman.
Shout out to all the Colemans out there.
I see some good ones in here. Fairbairn, if someone text in. No, that, yeah.
That's strong.
I mean, he's in here chilling 50-plus, and I mean, it ain't even close. Like the way he's nailing these.
Most 50-plus yard field goals in the first 2 weeks of a season in NFL history.
That's right. Yeah, six of them. He has been big time for the Texans. I was listening to D'Amico yesterday. He said he is the reason why they've won. Everybody talks about offense, defense. Fairbairn is the reason why we are sitting here 2-0 because of the kicks he's made. And if you think about it, they won the game by two last week and needed him to kick 50-yard field goals, multiple of them in. This one was tight, and they ended up winning by six, and he needed to kick multiple 50-yard field goals. So big for him. Mine is Jalen Petrie. I thought Jalen Petrie physically set the tone in this game. And, like, I mean, he is that guy that, damn, every time I got to run up against this, you talked about it with Will Anderson, he's that guy, every time I got to run up against this cat, he about to just stick me with everything he has.
Yeah.
He does. He is emptying the tank every time when he hits people. And I don't know if they've done a good job themselves or he's done a good job, but they've done a good job of not putting him in weakness areas. We've not seen him in a lot of coverage downfield, a lot of one-on-ones, which we were concerned about, and we'll see maybe they got better offenses, and I think that cat Minnesota can coach his tail off. We'll see maybe moving down the line. But Jalen Petrie has been really good, not just yesterday, but the start of the game. But I thought his physicality defensively may have set the tone.
Look, he's comfortable, Ron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He is really, really comfortable down around the line of scrimmage. What a great move by D'Amico Ryans, moving Kamari Lassiter outside, which clearly's paid off, and Jalen Petrie down to that nickel position, man. I think there are going to be teams on the schedule that are going to challenge those guys in the pass game. I don't know why at this point in time anybody in a right mind says, I'm going to throw a go route, I'm going to throw the ball down the field, I'm going to attack Derek Stingley. No clue why they do it. He's got better ball skills than your receivers 90% of the time. Like, he's big body, he's more athletic. Why would you choose to take your shots and continually choose to go that route? Don't understand it. At some point in time, the better offenses in this league are going to, by design, on time, in rhythm, take shots at Jalen Petrie and Kamari Lassiter. But right now, both of those guys are playing really good football, and they are really, really comfortable and confident right now, which is, again, regardless of when teams decide they're going to take shots at them, I can't wait for them to get challenged and kind of see how they come out on that deal. But right now, both of those guys versus two bad offenses, let's be honest, those are two offenses that they're not anywhere near where they you know, hope to be by midseason, hitting on all cylinders. But nonetheless, those guys have gotten really, really comfortable. Jalen Petrie is a good one, man.
Yeah, that's our Man Eye Institute players of the game. Man Eye Institute, see life better. All right, big three at three as we'll continue to look at the big win they got in around the AFC South has them with a two-game lead as the Texans close out the Bears. Also, the Astros, they had themselves a big weekend series, did what they needed to do, but the real story of the weekend we'll get into, and a big, big, huge breaking news here in the last hour or so out of the NFL. Huge, huge news. We'll pass that along to you coming up next.